हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 7. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Lord Krishna wanted to teach the world that the best of everything should be offered to the ruling chief of the country. King Ugrasena was the overlord of many dynasties and happened to be the grandfather of Krishna. So Krishna asked Satyajit to present the Shamataka jewel to King Ugrasena. Krishna pleaded that the best should be offered to the king, but Satyajit, being a worshipper of the demigods, had become too materialistic, and instead of accepting the request of Krishna, thought it wiser to worship the jewel to get the 170 pounds of gold every day. Materialistic persons who can achieve such huge quantities of gold are not interested in Krishna consciousness, right? Because people turn to Krishna consciousness because things don't go nicely, right? And so for him, it's going nicely, right? Sometimes, therefore, to show special favor, Krishna takes away one's great accumulations of materialistic wealth and thus makes one a great devotee. But Satyajit refused to abide by the order of Krishna and did not deliver the jewel. Right? So he was maintaining his material attachments. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments. Krishna requested the jewel for the treasury of King Ugrasena. Satyajit refused without considering the effects of refusing the request of the Lord. By not offering it to the Supreme Lord, but instead enjoying it himself, that object which could destroy all misfortunes would instead become the cause of all misfortunes. Right, because misfortune means that it's a result of something impious. Right, so actual piety is connecting everything to Krishna. Impiety is not connecting it to him. Right, so for the devotees, they're pious, and for the non-devotees, even though they may be following the recommendations of the scriptures, so by that context would be called pious. They're technically impious. Right, so in other words, they're the more nice guys out of the bad guys. Like you have criminals, but there's nice criminals, like that they're the nice ones. So that's what is not understood, is that it'll only bring misfortune. Because he doesn't contact the Lord, he has that's fine, because he's only working in the realm of piety. But then when the realm of spiritual comes into effect, and he doesn't take advantage of that, now that's where his misfortune will start. Is that okay? What then would be the offense if the Lord requested it for himself and he did not give? Right. So the offense was less. So he asked for Ugrasena. Right? Therefore, he requested it for Ugrasena, because if it's going to create a problem, then better it's only a limited amount of problem, right? Not as much problem as it could be.
Right? He knew before.
Yeah, you naturally know. It's just like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, once Satyajit's brother, Prasena, having hung the brilliant jewel about his neck, mounted a horse and went hunting in the forest. Right? So you can see is that as demigod worshippers and materialists, they don't seem to, even though they're very attached to this jewel and they worship this jewel, it's only because by worshipping you get the money. It's not that they have high regard for it. So now he's put it on and gone out hunting. Why would he do that? But having hung the brilliant jewel around his neck, mounted a horse and went hunting in the forest. A lion killed Prasena and his horse and took the jewels. But when the lion entered a mountain cave, he was killed by Jambavan, who wanted the jewel. Footnote 2. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks, the lion killed Prasena because violence was its nature. It took the jewel because it was most valuable. Such aspects of collecting curious items are seen in mice and other animals. Sometimes it's curious, it's unique, so they'll take it. Not that it knows what it's for or anything like that. Like crows, they come, anything shiny things, they pick it up and take it. Doesn't matter what it is. So if it's shiny, don't put it down. They'll pick it up. Mice also, I remember they would come and take things. I think they used to like to take the deity's shoes because they're shiny, you know, and small enough they can carry them off. So when we did finally find out where they lived, then we found all the shoes. Yeah. Not that they're thinking, you know, that they're walking around with the shoes on and stuff. No, it's just interesting. It's curious to them. You know, it's shiny. This one's bright and brilliant. You know, so like that. And they just find it interesting. Within the cave, Jambavan let his young son have the Shamataka jewel as a toy to play with. Meanwhile, Shatrajit, not seeing his brother return, became deeply troubled. He said, Krishna probably killed my brother, who went to the forest wearing the jewel on his neck. The general populace heard this accusation and began whispering it in one another's ears. Right, so that's the meaning of don't get involved in the common speaking. Right? When Lord Krishna heard this rumor, he wanted to remove the stain on his reputation. So he took some of Dwarka's citizens with him and set out to retrace Prasena's path. In the forest, they found Prasena and his horse, both killed by the lion. Further on, they found the lion dead by a mountainside, slain by Riksha. Jambavan. Right, so then you take all these citizens because they're witness. Because Krishna could go and then they'd say, oh, you made that up. So he took the citizens with him, prominent citizens, then they can see that, yes, this is the way it is. Verses 19 to 30. The combat between Krishna and Jambavan. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Lord stations his subjects outside the terrifying pitch dark cave of the king of bears. And then he entered alone. There, Lord Krishna saw that the most precious of jewels had been made into a child's plaything. Determined to take it away, he approached the child. The child's nurse cried out of fear upon seeing that extraordinary person standing before them. Jambavan, strongest of the strong, heard her cries and angrily ran towards the Lord. So Krishna is the strength of the strongest of the strong. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, as if out of fear of seeing a human form, the nurse began to cry. She was not even aware of his desire of taking the jewel. Right? She just saw the form and started crying. Not that he came to take the jewel. Actually, it was not real fear, for seeing the Lord is naturally a cause of jubilation. Mm-hmm. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so it may be just cried out in ecstasy, whatever. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, unaware of his true position and thinking him an ordinary man, Jambavan angrily began fighting with the Supreme Lord, his master. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but because he was angry, he could not recognize his master and thought him to be an ordinary man. This brings to mind the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, in which the Lord advises Arjuna to get free from anger, greed, and lust in order to rise to the spiritual platform. Lust, anger, and greed run parallel in the heart and check one's progress on the spiritual path. Right? So the path to Krishna, lust, anger, and greed, then they follow parallel along that. So unless we take shelter of Krishna, then they can have influence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, in fighting with the weak demons like Chanura, Kamsa, and Jarasandha, Krishna did not get much satisfaction. Because they weren't very, you know, strong. Krishna did not get much satisfaction. In order to get full satisfaction in fighting, the Lord therefore desired to fight with his own servant who had similar strength, his devotee Jambavan. As well, since the devotee Jambavan had not been fully satisfied in Vira Rasa by fighting with the troops of Ravana, Krishna wanted to satisfy him now. So both of them were unsatisfied with fighting. So that's the problem. You're so strong, then you will be unsatisfied because who can fight with you? You want to be the best, but then the problem is who can fight with you? Right? So then we see many times these demons, they're actually very happy, like Hiranyaksha, that they get someone that, when they say that, tell Hiranyaksha, I think he went to Shiva, you know, who he can fight with.
Varuna.
And then he says, don't worry, you know, Lord Vishnu, he can defeat you. Banasura went to Shiva. So then they tell him, you'll be defeated by... They're actually happy, because then here's a worthy opponent, right? They can fight, because then that Vira Rasa, that chivalry, then they can taste it fully. Because these others, there's like, you know... Does that make sense? You know, it'd be like, you know, how you say, you're one of those big monster wrestlers and they send out a four-year-old or something, you know, like that. You know, okay, you know, you kind of, you know. Yeah. So it's not much. So they're both dissatisfied because, you know, but now they can fight together. So Krishna, he'll fulfill his desire and Jambavan's desire, and that way then they're both satisfied. In order to fulfill both his and Jambavan's desires, he thus covered his sweet aspects from Jambavan by his Lila Shakti, through the power of his Yoga Maya. Thus Jambavan thought of him as an ordinary human, right? So the Lila Shakti is one of these three, right? Because they're the flavors. They're the, what is it, Anubhav, right? The Samvit Sandini Ladini, right? But the overall, then that's your Yoga Maya, because she's Swarup. She's all three of them. You know, she has all of those Shaktis. So through Yoga Maya, then with his Leela Shakti, then he covered him, so that then they could take part in this pastime. Right? Because Leela deals with the knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? So depending upon your knowledge, that's how you can have relationship. Because Leela will be in the same position like Jnana, and in Samvit, Sandini, right? They'll be that same kind of position, though they have different flavors, right? One's Vibhav, one's Prabhav, and one's Anubhav, right? Yes? No? Kind of?
So-so.
You saw? Yeah, of course.
What is Anubhav about? Can you just explain?
Means the Vibhav means is that is the aspect of dealing with Krishna. So he's the Vishai, so the Ashrai will be his internal, external, and marginal potencies. Because they're the Vishai of interacting with him. Right?
Yes.
Like that. So that's the Vibhava. Prabhava then is the influence. So it's Icha, Kriya, and Jnana.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Anubhava means which gives the flavor and all that. Mm-hmm. That would be the Samvit Sandini Hladini.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, so that makes sense. But means in there we didn't necessarily say them in the same orders. Right? So if you get that first one, then you can work out the others.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, because Hladini is fulfilling Krishna's Icha. Is that my point?
Yeah.
So the internal potency then is dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does that make sense? So they all are in that same kind of general category, but they have three different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 22 in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 72. How does he become human and then perform non-human pastimes? He is a deceptive human. Kapata manushaha. The word manushaha, human, means having a material body. Therefore, Krishna's body is deceptively kapata, human, because it's deceptively because it's a spiritual body, you know, spiritual. He has a remarkable human form since he performs human-like pastimes using a human form, while the normal human form cannot be Parabrahman. He does not refuse that form since it does not impede his powers. Right, so he can be in the human form, it doesn't impede his power, so it's not that it's a problem. That he is not a material being is confirmed in the story of stealing the Shamataka jewel. Since he only looks like a human, his real nature is Bhagavan, is hidden. right? As Vishnu, then you know he's Bhagavan, right? He's in the mood of God. But as a human, then it's hidden. That's what makes it more sweet, more wonderful, is that hidden aspect. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 22, and we just read that. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Wow, each one of them starts with a Srila. I was going to say it's because it's something. You have Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sukadev, Srila Jiva, Srila Sukadev, and Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Srila Sukadev Goswami, yeah, where are we? So we're reading from where it says Srila. On which page? Yeah. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The two fought furiously in single combat, each determined to win, contending against each other with various weapons, and then with stones, tree trunks, and finally their bare arms. They struggled like two hawks battling over a piece of flesh. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the fighting was intense, without cessation of attack, because each desired strongly to win, right? So it wasn't that they would step back just immediately, it's just constant.
Yes.
Otherwise, how do you satisfy, right? Jambavan's been unsatisfied since Treta Yuga. You know?
Yes.
Like that. So, you know, you have a bit of work to put in. So it has to be constant. You know? Because how much they know, they're the best, they're the strongest, they're the best. That means the technique that they know, the strength that they can use, others can't do. So all those things can be then used. The Lord, out of excitement of pastimes, and Jambavan, out of pride in his great strength. Right, so for Krishna, it's just fun, the pastimes, you know, doing like that, because who can defeat him? So it's like that, and Jambavan, because he's the strongest. So. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The fight went on without rest for 28 days. It's not that they stopped and took a break and, you know, drank some water or stuff like that. Like in Jarasandha, in the evening, they'd stop, you know, so from sunrise to sunset, then they would fight, but after that, they wouldn't. You know, and then they sit and talk and eat and drink and laugh and joke like this. So I bet here this is 28 days straight. Right? And Jarasandha was how many days? Anyone remember?
3 days or 7?
Yeah, I think it was more longer. It was longer, but it wasn't as long as this. So that's the thing, is that was shorter and only half a day. And this is like 28 days, you know, full. So it's basically a lunar month.
Yes.
You know, that's what it is.
Jambavan is a monkey.
Sorry?
Jambavan is the body of monkey?
No, bear.
I'm asking.
No, I'm just saying it's he's a I'm not sure if he's a Kanara or Kimpurusha, but so there'll be half human, half animal. At least that I know of, he has the head of a bear.
Says Rukshu.
Rukshu means bear.
Yeah.
So he's a bear.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's not exactly a bear.
Yeah.
That's where the problem comes. He's a bear, but he's not a bear.
But he's not following the Kshatriya duties.
No, they're forest dwellers.
Yes.
You know, that's why you see when you go to Kimpurusha Varsha, the next one up from Bharat Varsha, then they worship the Lord, but they're worshiping that symbol because they're forest people. They live in the forest. Like he lives in a cave. You know, so all the monkeys, you know, all the, you know, Hanuman and all them, they all live in, you know, out in the wild.
Yes.
So they have their own culture and all that. But they're more powerful than humans, so they're higher. So like that. But they so it's hard to exactly define what he is. But the general thing is he's a bear. But he's not exactly a bear. Right?
It looks like Jambavati had a human form.
Yes.
So maybe Jambavan.
It's just a matter of they have mystic powers, them. So if they want to manifest however they want to manifest, they can also take it. Like Hanuman, he's a monkey, but whenever he'd like, he'd take the form of a Brahmin, or he'd get small, or he'd get really big, or, you know, they can do all this stuff. So you have to remember, Jambavan, he's Chiranjeev. So he's like Hanuman. So he's not just a number, another Kinara. Right? He lives the lifetime of Brahma. And he has so much power. He was the most powerful, I think, other than Vishnu, living entity in the universe. And because, you know, is young and, you know, how you say, and enthusiastic and, you know, all that kind of jazz. Then I think the sages got bothered, like Hanuman. And they cursed him to be like he's old. So then his power is reduced. But still, he's the strongest person basically in the universe. But, you know, because he's older, I guess he's, you know, more mature, so he doesn't harass the sages. And then Hanuman, he just forgot his powers. Because he was using his powers and harassing the sages. You know, like they'd be meditating under the tree, pick up the dirt under the tree and then put it somewhere else. You know, stuff like that. You know, so he got cursed that he'd forget his powers only if someone reminded him, then he could use them. So Jambavan, because he knows who he is, he reminded him, and therefore the pastimes happened. But up to that point, then he didn't know who he was. You know, he just knew he was Hanuman, but he didn't know. He thought he was just another Kinara. Like that. Does that make sense? Well, so basically you can say he's a bear, but he's not exactly a bear.
Special.
Yeah, special bear. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The fight went on without rest for 28 days, the two opponents striking each other with their fists, which fell like the cracking blows of lightning. His bulging muscles pummeled by the blows of Lord Krishna's fist, his strength faltering and his limbs perspiring. Jambavan, greatly astonished, finally spoke to the Lord." Footnote 3. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "Krishna beat him in a special manner by using two fists without noise and while using one fist with a large noise. Jambavan was most astonished because he had not seen such abilities manifest even in Rama." Right? Because he's the origin of all these things. So they all have their position and when to use them and all that. So you see, it's not so much used nowadays. Nowadays we're used to just single fists fighting. But you see in some of the older schools of the Chinese fighting, they'd use two fists at once. Everything was done double. Like that, you don't see it so much these days. Because people before knew how to use them, now they don't. So then they'll just say it's just theoretical, so they drop it. You know, so like that. But Krishna could do that. Because you can hit where it doesn't make noise, or you can hit where it makes lots of noise. So it's just a matter of what you want to do. So Krishna could do that. And he hadn't seen that with Lord Ramachandra. So this is special because, you know, this is the original form. So if he wants to fight, then he knows unlimited forms of fighting.
Even with the fight, Chanu, Krishna used...
Sorry?
In the fight, Chanu. So Krishna used a fist which is made of only four fingers.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not sure how you do that. Well, it means this one. Because that's one that's used. Okay, although Jambavan was the strongest living entity of that time, practically all the joints of his bodily limbs became slackened and his strength was reduced practically to nil. For he was struck continuously by the fists of Sri Krishna. Feeling very tired with perspiration all over his body, right? Because no one can do that to him, right? If anybody could, it's Lord Ramachandra, but he's even saying moves that Lord Ramachandra didn't do. But other than them, there's no living entity produced by Brahma that could do this to him, like that. Feeling very tired with perspiration all over his body, Jambavan was astonished. Who was this opponent who was fighting so hard with him? Jambavan was quite aware of his own superhuman bodily strength. Right? So it's not that so much the false ego. He knows his strength. He may be proud of it, but it's not that what he's proud of is an illusion. Right? He knows what his strength is. But when he felt tired from being struck by Krishna, he could understand that Krishna was no one else but his worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This incident has special significance for devotees. In the beginning, Jambavan could not understand Krishna because his vision was obscured by material attachment, right? His son is there, you know, somebody's come to disturb his son, and so therefore then he just comes to fight. He was attached to his boy and to the greatly valuable Shamantaka jewel, which he did not want to spare for Krishna. In fact, when Krishna came there, he was angry, thinking that Krishna had come to take away the jewel. This is the material position. although one is very strong in body, that cannot help him understand Krishna. Yeah. Right? So those who have great material intelligence, those who have good, mental or social understanding and dealings, or this physical, someone whose senses are very good, none of these can help you understand Krishna. That's the point, is nothing on none of the lower aspects of Atma can help you, right? Yes. Only on the platform of the soul, that can actually help you understand. Yes. And that's only if you come in contact with those who are in the parampara. Yes. So when the soul gets empowered with the chit potency coming from the parampara, only then they can understand. So it's not the intelligence, the mind, the senses that are actually being used to understand Krishna. Those are mediums for the flow of the internal potency. In a sporting attitude, Krishna wanted to engage in a mock fight with his devotee. As we have experienced from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the propensities and instincts of a human being. Sometimes in a sportive spirit, he wishes to fight to make a show of bodily strength. And when he so desires, he selects one of his suitable devotees to give him that pleasure. Right? So, like people, sometimes want to wrestle or fight or like that. So they'll choose someone who they feel will be the appropriate match. Like that. So that's how it works. You don't just choose anybody. Like that. So for him, it has to be a devotee and a qualified devotee, in that area. Krishna desired his pleasure of mock fighting with Jambavan. Although Jambavan was a devotee by nature, he did not know that his opponent was Krishna. Well, he gave service to the Lord by his bodily strength, right? So because Krishna wanted to be pleased in that way, therefore his fighting with him was service to Krishna. So by fighting, then he realizes. So that's how he understood. But as soon as Krishna was pleased by the fighting, Jambavan immediately understood that his opponent was none other than the Supreme Lord himself. Right? Because otherwise, how will they fight? Because you'll think it's the Lord, so they won't fight. But when they get covered by his Leela Shakti, then you see like Jayan Vijay, then they fight very nicely. The conclusion is that he should understand Krishna by his service, for Krishna is sometimes satisfied by fighting also. So it's only through service that we can understand Krishna. It's only by pleasing Krishna that you can understand him. We please him through service. That's how it works. There's no other method. Now we may engage according to our conditioning, our particular mind, our particular intelligence, all these different things we may engage. But it's not that through that we actually understand. No, those are just what we use. Does that make sense? It's just like you use the pot as a medium for cooking, but it's not that the pot does the cooking. Right? So the soul serves Krishna. They do it through the medium of their conditioning. Jambavan said, "I know now that you are the life, air, and the sensory, mental, and bodily strength of all living beings. You are Lord Vishnu, the original person, the supreme, all-powerful controller." Footnote 4. This statement of Jambavan's is confirmed by the Vedanta Sutra, wherein the Lord is declared to be the source of everything. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, "If all the prana of all the living entities, of all the billions of universes, were brought together, and if all the strengths of all the senses, oja, and mind, saha, and bodies, bala, were brought together, I know it all as you alone, since all of that is just your vibhuti," right? So that's the whole point, is anybody's strength and all that. That's what we mean by he's the strength and the strong. Is that all strength and all bodies, whatever that unique strength is, no matter how big or small it is, that's all Krishna. It's not something else. So if you bring that all together, that's Krishna. So it's the same principle. You can see is that this is a very standard understanding amongst the Vaishnavas. Thus, how can your strength be countered by the strength of one entity like me? Because he's all the living entities in all the universes. So how could one living entity counter? So that's why for him, it was a show of strength and prowess. But for Krishna, it was a pastime. Right? It is like Garuda being challenged by a butterfly. A monarch butterfly? You are Vishnu, the pervader of all, and I am a single pervaded person. You are the ancient person, and I am the youngest person. You are endowed with all power, Prabha Vishnum, and I am without power, right? Because the power that he has comes from Vishnu. You are the controller of all, Adishwaram, and I am the controlled. And so these are, you know, all the points that he's making by that, all these different aspects. Jambavan continued, you are the ultimate creator of all creators of the universe, and of everything created, you are the underlying substance. You are the subduer of all subduers, the supreme lord and supreme soul of all souls. Right? Notice how it's all, wherever you're studying Vedanta Sutra, the Bhagavatam has the same. So that's the point. This is the natural commentary. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, and it's so much easier to understand here. Right? That, so that's why then this is the natural book.
That was the intellectual poetry, and this one?
This is the devotional poetry. This is the poetry for the soul.
And that was made easy for you in the morning? That was made easy for you?
No, that's because we're discussing from the point of view of Bhagavatam. So that's what makes it easy. Because that's the commentary. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, this statement is very instructive to the ordinary man who is amazed by the activities of a person with an exceptional brain. The ordinary man is surprised to see the inventions of a great scientist, but the statement of Jambavan confirms that although a scientist may be a creator of many wonderful things, Krishna is the creator of the scientist. He is the creator of not only one scientist, but of millions and trillions all over the universe. Scientists analyze the physical elements or laws of material nature to do something wonderful, but actually such laws and elements are also the creation of Krishna. This is actual scientific understanding. That's actual science. You know that, then you know the science. Because the science they're analyzing to come to this point. They want to know the source, why it's all happening, what's the reason for it, what's the purpose. So this is the science that will explain that. The science, that the approach that they're using, this modern academic method, it will never in billions and billions of years ever give an answer. It can't. And that can be from universe to universe. It means that eternally it will never give. Because it's not, because you can only know the Lord through devotion. And He is the cause of everything. He's the source of everything. Does that make sense? So it's just impossible. It'll never happen. It just won't be known. So, all such scientists, they can do what they're doing, but they won't understand. But as soon as we see whatever we're looking at in value in connection with Krishna, then we actually understand. That's an actual scientist. Scientists utilize the physical elements or laws of material nature to do something wonderful. But actually such laws and elements are also the creation of Krishna, right? It's wonderful because the effect is coming from the Creator. So since the laws are given by Krishna, you follow those laws, then you can make something amazing. But that's because Krishna's amazing.
Yes.
Less intelligent men do not try to understand who created the brain of the scientist. They are satisfied simply to see the wonderful creation or invention of the scientist. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, because you are the prana, ojas, and bala of all living beings. You are the creator of all creators of the universe. Ojas is prana. Ojas, senses. Oh, okay. Strength of the senses, mind, and the body. So physical strength is bala, and sensual strength is ojas. Okay, you are the prana, ojas, and bala of all living beings. You are the creator of all creators of the universe. Because you pervade the jivas, Vishnu, you are the root, sarupa, atma, of the atma. Right, so he's the atma of the atma. Because you pervade all of creation, samasti, as Garbhodakshay, Purana, Purusham, you are called Ishaha. Right? You are the controller of Prakriti. It means he's there before the creation, and with the creation, he pervades all the creation. Because it's his potencies that's making it happen. So why wouldn't he be pervading? Everything's being manifest by his power. So that means whatever's manifested is connected to him. He's pervading whatever's manifested. That's why it manifests.
Yes.
So then this way he's all pervading. So there's nothing he's not pervading. Because if he wasn't pervading it, it wouldn't be manifest. You are in control of all the spiritual realms, Adishwaram. You are the subduer of subduers. Paramatma means the root, Swarupa. Or in the previous verse, the five descriptive elements are further explained. Since he, you are the instigator of dull, almost dead matter as sutra and ahankara. A sutra means, you know, how you go through everything. You are the creator of Brahma and other created beings, Shishtanam. And you are the material cause, Upadana, known as Garbhodakshai, with the lotus coming from his navel. Right? So he's who's causing this. That's how then has Hiranyagarbha. That's the material form, because he's interacting through his energies. That's the form, but he himself is aloof, because he only interacts with his internal potency. But he expands, and through it has his energies transformed, and we know as through the position of Sadashiva, then he deals with everything else. Right? So that's why then it's through ignorance that everything is dealt with. Right? In other words, there's ignorance of their relationship to the Lord, and then within that, then you have the three modes.
Yes.
Right?
It just goes on like this, that but if Garbhadakshai is known as Upadana, then Mahavishnu is known as Nimitta, and that's how it goes. And Garbhadakshai is now the Nimitta, and then Shridakshai is Upadana.
Yeah, it'll always go back, yeah. Because you always have the cause and effect. So he's going to be the one who's dealing, because Garbhadakshai, he's the one who pervades everything. But at the same time, so he's known as the universal form. But also, Kiradakshai is known as the universal form. Mm-hmm. There's two different aspects. The pervasive of it, it means its qualities, its nature, what it can do. You know, the laws governing that, the mechanics, that is Garbhadakshai Vishnu. Then who's involved with these mechanics and what results they're getting and what they're allowed to get and what they're allowed to work with, that's Kiradakshai. So both of them then are different aspects, because one is Prajumna and one's Aniruddha. So you have the Prajumna aspect and the Aniruddha aspect. So one's the mechanics of it and the attraction to it. The other is what results can be gained from it. You know, and what results you will get. Right. And because of this, you are the instigator, Kala, of all instigators, Kalyatam, within each of many universes. Because of such influence, you are the supreme controller, Para Isha, and because of this, you are the supreme source, Atma. Swayam Bhagavan, of all jivas and other forms of the Lord, Atmanam. Jambavan concluded, you are he who impelled the ocean to give way when his sidelong glances slightly manifested his anger, disturbed the crocodiles and Timangila fish within the watery depths. You are he who built a great bridge to establish his fame, who burnt down the city of Lanka, and whose arrows severed the heads of Ravana, and which then fell to the ground. I think the crocodiles here are the Makaras. Like that, because you don't actually have a proper term for that. So, crocodile, shark, anything like that.
This is a makara.
Yeah. Otherwise, how many crocodiles have you seen in the ocean?
None.
Yeah. So, these are makaras. Because they're like a shark, but they're like a crocodile, and they're like with an elephant nose. So if you can figure that one out, then.
So when it says that Krishna is a makara kundala, it means this makara?
Yes. There's only one makara. But they're shark-like earrings. So it has that shape. They use that shark shape. But they have an elephant nose. That's mm-hmm. You know, it's like those, because those ones are the most ferocious. Like of all the land animals, who's the strongest?
Yeah.
Well, the elephant. He's got that kind of nose. Mm-hmm. Right? Then there's a lion that's bigger than the regular lions that has an elephant nose.
Okay.
Right? They just catch the elephants in their trunk. So in that way you can say that. But and then of the fish, the aquatics, then this makara, it's got an elephant nose.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, there's something to do with being strong and have, means if your nose is strong, what about the rest of the earth? Like that. Yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, Lord Krishna then addressed the King of the Bears, who had understood the truth. The lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, touched Jambavan with his hand, which bestows all blessings, and spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion, his grave voice deeply resounding like a cloud. Verses 31 to 37. Krishna recovers the Shamataka jewel and marries Jambavati. Lord Krishna said, It is for this jewel, O Lord of the Bears, that we have come to your cave. I intend to use the jewel to disprove the false accusations against me. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus addressed, Jambavan happily honored Lord Krishna by offering him his maiden daughter, Jambavati, together with the jewel. So that means Jambavati is the second queen. Srila Jiva Goswami comments.
In which form?
We're always worried about that, aren't we?
Yes. It's a special story.
Krishna is the form of the form.
Huh?
Krishna is the form of the form.
He's the form of the form. So you don't have to worry. Yeah, well, we never hear when Krishna's with his wives that everyone comments, hey, who's the one that looks like a bear? Yeah, so it appears that she didn't look like a bear. Next commentary. Okay, very good. Okay, it's coming up. Because this has been an anxiety for the whole chapter so far. Even we haven't gotten to there. Does she look like a... Yeah, Jambavan, what does she look like? Yeah, okay. So now I understand. That was the question to get at. What does Jambavati look like? Okay, now I understand. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. How you say? The Germanic would more worry about what does Jambavan look like. The fresh French would worry about what does Jambavati look like.
There is one lady living in France called Jambavati.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ask her, you know, what form is Jambavati? She doesn't know.
Okay. Aha. Okay, Srila Jiva Goswami comments. His daughter had a human form, even though he had an animal form.
Finally
complete.
Yes,
so now
it's
just complete. Yes. Yet he considered her his daughter. This was possible because, as a son of a devata, he could take various forms. She was unmarried, Kanyam. Because of great affection for her, he named her after himself as Jambavati.
Okay.
Yeah, so she had, because he's born of a devata, so then his daughter could also then have that form, that kind of form. And then he could take any form he likes. This story is told in Mathura Harivamsa, probably because a lot of devotees ask this question. During the appearance of Ramachandra, this daughter had been born. Jambavan wanted to give her to Rama alone. Rama said that since in that avatar he has only one wife as a vow, it was not possible. It would happen during the appearance of Krishna. He ordered him to do austerities for this purpose for many days. Remembering that, after a long time he attained his desire after doing his austerities at Govardhan. Right, so he did his austerities there, and then now he realizes. So now when he sees his Krishna, then he understands the connection. Now as Krishna, then he can accept many wives. So now, then, as Krishna, then he can marry her.
Yes.
Right? And you can understand that they are around for a long time, because otherwise then, you know, over, what is it? I mean, we're dealing with how many million years?
8 lakhs. 1.1 million.
1.1 million years. And she's still a Kanya. Because Kanya means it's a specific age.
But, she's supposed to be very tall. Because that's what the thing was with Balaram.
Revati.
She was in from Treta Yuga and she was too tall.
So she's too tall now? No, but they're acting in Dwapara Yuga already. The other ones, they had just come back from that time, and then they saw everyone was short, so then they had to make the arrangement.
Since Jambavan could take various forms, so she could.
Yeah, the question is about Jambavan Krishna. Okay. Jambavati. It's always an anxiety.
I think they were special. Only Muchukunda experienced this problem with his
height. So yeah, because he went to sleep then and he just woke up then. And then he saw everything small. So then he went up to Badri Gashram. Because up there, then they're all, you know, the right size. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, after Lord Sori had entered the cave, the people of Dwarka who had accompanied him had waited 12 days without seeing him come out again. Finally, they had given up and returned to their city in great sorrow. Footnote 5. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, thinking of Vasudeva and others, the people thought it was not proper to stay longer. Those close to Satrajit returned to the city. Though the inhabitants of Dwarka were grieved, because they were not intimately associated with Krishna, they returned to the city rather than stay at the cave he had entered. Right. So it appears here is not only did he take people, but he didn't take his people. He took Satrajit's people. Because if he took his own people, then they would say, oh, you conspired and they like this. So he had to take Satrajit's people. So they stayed for 12 days, but then afterwards then they left and went back. When Devaki, Rukmini Devi, Vasudev, and the Lord's other relatives and friends heard that he had not come out of the cave, they all lamented. Cursing Satrajit, the sorrowful residents of Dwarka approached the Durga deity named Chandrabhaga and prayed to her for Krishna's return. Right, so now Satrajit, by his comments, had put Krishna in a bad light, and now by this incident, now it puts him in a bad light. When the citizens had finished, because they already knew that he didn't kill brother and all that, but then in going out, Krishna hasn't returned. Right? Because Satrajit's brother hadn't returned, then he spread rumors about Krishna. But now it was proven that it wasn't. It was a lion that killed Satrajit. And so now, but now Krishna hasn't returned. So now then Satrajit gets the blame. Okay, footnote 6. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, they approached Durga because they were absorbed in their roles as ordinary people, just as the Lord himself acted as an ordinary person. They approached her for the quick attainment, upalabdhye, of Krishna. Being a special shakti of the Lord, she could do this. Right? So they're acting, so they went to her. But you see is that it's not a problem because it's about Krishna. Just as the gopis, then they worship Katyayani to get Krishna. Then here they're worshiping to also for the return of Krishna. And there's one other example in between these two. Someone else was worshiping Rukmini. Yes, Rukmini. Then her, in the temple, then she was worshiping to get Krishna as her husband. Right? Yeah, Krishna is her husband and no one else. Right? When the citizens had finished worshipping the demigoddesses, she spoke to them in response, promising to grant their request. Just then, Lord Krishna, who had achieved his purpose, appeared before them in the company of his new wife, filling them with joy. Yeah, so it all worked out all at once then. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, by worshipping devatas, the Lord does not appear to ordinary people. It is said, Devan, Deva, Yajo, Yanti. Worshippers of devatas attain the devatas. However, when the people of Dwarka worship Durga, Krishna appeared. In worshipping her, the people had only prema for Krishna, who himself acted in pastimes with an appearance of ordinary dealings. Durga attained qualification by the relationship with them. Whatever blessing she gave came true. Right? So by associating with them who had prema, then her blessings came true. Krishna's goal was to retrieve the jewel, give mercy to Jambavan, win Jambavati as a bride, and refute Satyajit's claim. He had attained these goals, Siddhartha. He appeared with his wife suddenly. Thus it was possible that he came on Garuda. Because it wasn't that they heard about him, you know, coming across, because you have to come by the boats and this and that, so people are going to know. But he just suddenly appeared. Right? Just like, what's his name? Appeared suddenly. Prajumna. Yeah, because Rati, you know, with her powers, just because a demigod, she just flew him there.
Maharaj, when they worship Durga Devi, and then Krishna appeared, so will not their faith in Durga increase more than in Krishna? Because they
when? I didn't catch that.
See, they worship Durga,
right.
Krishna returns,
right.
Krishna appeared immediately. So
yes.
Their faith in Durga will increase more in the demigod.
No, their faith in Krishna will increase because they only had prema for Krishna. So their only connection to the demigod is in connection to Krishna. Right? Because for them, the primary is the main, not the secondary.
Okay, so just to set an example, they are worshipping Durga Devi?
No, because they're performing human pastimes, so they're doing that.
Okay.
Okay. Right? Okay. In that situation, Durga Devi must be, she's a pure devotee of Krishna, so she must be also knowing the attitude, desire of the pure devotee. Asking
yes, her. Yes.
It's like a
she's Yoga Maya. So in yes. other words, they're worshipping Yoga Maya.
Yes.
But the form may be that of yes. the particular form of Durga that is there, that's worshipped. But for the devotees, she's Yoga Maya.
Yes. So she's supposed to satisfy the devotee to come closer to Krishna?
Yes. So from that side, then they wouldn't get... Because yes. they're getting more faith in Yoga Maya.
Yes.
Is that a problem? No.
So we can worship Durga Devi with the mood that she is Yoga Maya, with that understanding.
We can, but why do we need to?
For Krishna.
But why do we need to go out of our way for that when we already have Krishna, we already have Radharani? You know what I'm saying? In other words, you don't go out of your way. Yeah? Okay. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, seeing Lord Hrishikesh return as if from death, accompanied by his new wife and wearing the Shamantaka jewel on his neck, all the people were roused to jubilation. Footnote 7. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jambavan had placed the jewel on the Lord's neck when he had presented his daughter in marriage. Verses 38 to 45. Satyajit, because generally before offering the girl before Kanyadan, then you are giving something, you know, some nice things, respecting the groom. So then he gave him the Shamantaka jewel, and then he gave his daughter. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit. Verses 38 to 45. Satyajit offers his daughter Satyabhama to Krishna. Okay, so it's just immediate. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit to the royal assembly. There, in the presence of King Ugrasena, Krishna announced the recovery of the jewel and then formally presented it to Satyajit. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. With attention, he summoned Satyajit, and in the presence of King Ugrasena, in order to dispel the false rumors and give joy to all the people, he explained the events to all the citizens, and even though he had previously requested it for Ugrasena, offered the jewel to Satyajit just so that he had no desire for it, since as the Lord, full of all powers and wealth, Bhagavan, he had no interest in such things. Because otherwise, if this time, because he had it, now he gave it, then it would seem like he wanted it to give. But now he just gives it back after all this trouble. Because the point was, is he wanted Satyajit to give it to Ugrasena. Like that. Right. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premananda.